Started at a Torahway in Northwest London, Wednesday, 18th of Teves, 22nd of December, Rabbi Chaim Hoch, The Power of Positive Thoughts. This week's Torahway is sponsored by Family Blachman, Nishmas, Rav Moshe Levin, Ravon, Chanuch, Waldman, Zechron of Rocha, at the same time. This week's Torah also sponsored by Family Laufer, Lichvot Simchas and Assum of Spencer Laufer, Adina Shire. Chasta took place on Monday. He rots in Shivna Bias, Nemo, Yisrael, Lashem, Velis Hillel.
Good to go?
Yeah.
All right, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
It's quite, it brings back memories. I used to sit here and back in the day, I don't know how many years ago already, Shari Yoder, I used to sit and learn in the Beis Medrash. I don't know if anyone here. Rabbi Hamer, Rabbi Zobin, and so I used to sit in the Beis Medrash and learn a little bit. So I haven't been back. I say it's probably been about 8 years or so since I've been back here. I don't live in the area, so it's very special to be back. And thank you very much. Thank you to Josh. Thank you for inviting me. And thank you, everyone who's here in person, and everyone who's listening. If you have any questions, I know we only have half an hour, and I think we're down to 26 minutes now. So, we're gonna try to get into the conversation, into the discussion. The truth is, the discussion that I'm bringing today goes far beyond what actually we're going to talk about. It goes far beyond the sources that I'm going to bring in the discussion. Go on and on, and certainly must go on and on. But maybe I can just, maybe together we can whet our appetite a little bit and hopefully become a little bit inspired by this concept. The title of this shiur is The Power of Positive Thoughts. Is that right?
Yeah.
Power of Positive Thoughts. So if anyone has any comments or thoughts, everyone's welcome. Please do, shout out. But just as a reminder that we will have to keep our eye on the clock. So I'm going to bring over here, I don't know if this is common, by the way, I'm just using my computer as notes. As my notes instead of printing it out.
Fine,
save the environment. So, so I'm going to bring over here, I'm going to begin with the pasuk in the beginning of this week's Sedra. And I want to read through the pasuk. And as we're reading through, I know I didn't make any printouts, but if anyone has a chumash, you're welcome to read inside. Parafei's pasuk yud aleph. And I just want you to think about possibly if there's anything nuanced or anything that doesn't really fit in to the story over here. And it's really a very, very small thing, I think, when you look at it. But if you pick up on it, it would be amazing. And I'll read through the psukim, and we'll take it from there. So the pasuk says in Shmois, Vayihi bayomim ha'heim, Vayigdal Moshe vayetze alachov, and it was in those days that Moshe grew up, and he went out. By the way, sorry, before I continue, I must say that when I told Josh what I want to speak about, I didn't even, I was like, yeah, this is a topic I'd like to maybe develop a little bit into shir. I've spoken about it in the past years ago, but I really wanted to work on it, and I thought this is an opportunity, and I didn't even chop that it's this week's Sedra when I gave the title for the class. So anyway, Tashkaf Pratis. So the pasuk goes on and says, and it was in those days, Vayigdal Moshe, Moshe grew up, Vayetze Alachav, he went out to his brothers, to his brethren, Vayar B'siv Loisam, Vayar Ish Mitzri, Maki Ish Ivri Me'achav, he saw all the hardships of Bnei Yisrael, and he saw that there was an Egyptian man hitting one of his brethren, the Yid, a Yid. Vayifen koi v'choi, Moshe turns one way, he looks one way, he looks the other way. Vayar kein ish, vayachas ha-mitzri v'yish v'nei v'chol. He kills the Mitzri and he hides him. He hides the body. And he comes out then. Moshe comes out. Keep in mind, he was living in the palace. And he probably wasn't so involved with what was going on. And so he comes out of the palace. And this is a revelation to him. He sees his nation, his people, really for the first time. And so he goes out again on the second day after killing this Egyptian. And Shnea, what does he see? Shnea Anashim Ivrim Nitzim. Then he sees two Yidden fighting. Vayomer the Rasha lo masaker echad. And he says to the Rasha, why are you hitting your friend? Vayomer mi somcholish sar v'shoev dalenu halargeni ata emer kasher ratis amitzri. What is the Yid? What does this Yid turn around to Moshe and say? He says, are you going to kill me the way you killed the Mitzri yesterday? You're going around killing people? And Moshe suddenly realizes, what does the Torah say? Vayira Moshe. Moshe became afraid. He says, what I did yesterday is now known. People know, obviously, people know what's going on. And so Moshe becomes afraid. Vayishma Parah, the pasuk continues, Es Adavar Hazeh, Vayivakash Arigas Moshe, Vayibrach Moshe, Vayibrach Moshe, Parah, Vayishav Eretz Midyon, Vayishav Alaber. And then the pasuk continues, and Parah hears about this, and then he wants to kill Moshe, and Moshe runs away, and the whole story ends up in Midyon. And then the story continues as we know. So this is these are the psukim in the beginning of the Sedra. Now, is there anything in this story that I just read out loud? I've gone through it a little bit quickly, but I spent time on the point I wanted to mention, and I wanted to talk about. Is there anything that sticks out that is actually not relevant to the story over here? Is there anything that anyone here can think of that doesn't need to be here? Maybe a little bit superfluous to the story. Anyone?
No, that's part of the story.
Huh? It all seems like part of the story. Okay. So also, it's probably better that, because I guess the mic won't pick up anyway, right? So the superfluous, what I'm going to suggest is that what's superfluous over here is the feeling that Moshe had. Since when does Torah make it a point to talk about how we're feeling? Right? Really, most of the time when we read the Pesukim, it's all about what happened. It's not about how we're feeling. And the Torah here says, Vayira Moshe, Moshe became afraid. Everyone knows what happened, that I killed the mystery. Why is that relevant to the story? What does that add to the story? Does it add anything at all?
That's why he runs away.
That's why he runs away. Oh, okay, fine. Okay, that's why he runs away. But actually, that's not why he runs away, because the pasuk continues, Vayishma Pare Sadavar Azeh. Pare heard about it. Why did Moshe run away? Because Pare heard about it. Not because he was afraid. He ran away because Pare heard about it. Pare wants to kill him. So he has to run away. The fact that Moshe feels worried and concerned and afraid is actually not so relevant. I would posit. Is that the right word?
No.
Yeah. Huh?
Don't agree.
You don't agree. Go on.
It's very relevant. But here am I sure. He would have been worried.
Yeah. He would, even in that power. Yeah, he wouldn't have run away.
He wouldn't have run away if not for the fact he's worried. Okay, the truth of the matter is,
he ran away because he was afraid that Pare would kill him.
That's what the pasuk tells us, that Pare was going to kill him. You're right, he was afraid. There's no question about that he was afraid, but why does Torah have to mention this specific point? And the truth is, you're right. Rashi agrees with you. Yeah? And what does Rashi say?
A good question is only as good as its good answer.
So let's find out.
It's
exactly.
A good answer.
It's not his only case. It says two times
the Oh, fine. Beautiful. Okay, great. So that's exactly what we're going to get into. That's absolutely true. But the fact that you pointed those out shows how few and far between. It is.
What did you say?
That also we have it by Yaakov. The Torah does talk about other cases where we do find other cases where the Torah speaks about it, being afraid. So what does Rashi say? What does it mean? Rashi brings Vayira Moshe. So obviously, first of all, Rashi feels the need to explain something over here, right? Rashi feels the need to explain. If it was so obvious, what's Rashi being Mivar anything? What does Rashi say? Kipshutai. Vayira Moshe, he became afraid. Kipshutai. And then Rashi brings the Medrash. What does the Medrash say? The Medrash says, Dog loy al shirosh mois rabba. Yeah, dog loy al shirob yisrol rishoyim dal toirin amar meata shema enam ruin ligoil. So what does Rashi say? What was the fear of Moshe according to the Medrash? The fear of Moshe actually was that he saw Yidden who are willing to be Moiser. Yeah? Huh? Rishayim Dal Toirin, right? That they were willing to be to master on another Yid. So what does he say? He says, Achei Noid Adavar. Now I understand why the Yidden are slaves. Now this is a fundamental problem. If Moshe Rabbeinu, who's supposed to be the savior, the leader of the Jewish people, and he's meant to take them out of Mitzrayim, suddenly realizes that the Yidden actually deserve to be slaves, that's not going to work very well, is it? Moshe Rabbeinu, this is what the Medrash is saying. Moshe doesn't know, but we know, right? And therefore, according to Rashi, according to this Medrash, it makes sense to say, it makes sense for the Torah to tell us about the fear of Moshe, because this fear of Moshe is crucial to the story. It's crucial for us to understand why Moshe Rabbeinu has to go on this odyssey to Midian, and he has to leave and go through all the various things before he's able to come back and actually take the Yidden out of Galut. Because in this moment, Moshe is not ready to take the Yidden out of Galut. In this moment, Moshe believes the Yidden belong in Galut. Sorry, go.
In Russian, what does the word Dal Turin mean?
The word Dal Turin means the master. Yeah, like snitches. So, as far as I know. As far as I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Amar Me'atash, so this is the... Okay. This is a suggestion from Rashi. This is a suggestion from the Medrash. And perhaps this explains a little bit about why it makes sense to talk about the fear of Moshe. But I want to bring another Medrash over here and explore something a little bit different. Maybe a little bit deeper over here. So there's a Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, which I'll read to you. And as you've mentioned, it talks about Yaakov. What's the pasuk over there in Parshas Vayishlach? It's telling us about Vayira Yaakov Ma'oid Vayetzer Loi. Yaakov was afraid of Esav. So what does the Medrash say? Reb Pinchas B'shem Reb Ruvein Shnei Bnei Adam Hivtichan Hakadosh Baruch Hu V'Nisiyaru. There are two people, who the Eibusher gave them Avtacha and said to them, "I'm going to take care of you." And nevertheless, Nisyaru, they became fearful in spite of the Haftacha the Eibusher. Well, who are they? Avakash of Avis, Avakash of Neviim, the chosen of the Avis and the chosen of the Neviim, Yaakov and Moshe. Avakash of Avis, Yaakov, Amar Lo Yaakadosh Baruch Hu, Hi Bihine Anoch Imach. What does Hashem say to Yaakov in Parshas Vayetze? Vahine Anoch Imach, I will be with you. And nevertheless, we see later on that Nisyaru, Vayira Yaakov. Yeah, so we see that Yaakov became afraid after Hashem's promise. And the same thing by Moshe. Hashem says to Moshe, ki eya imcha. The Eibusher says that I'm going to be with you. And it's interesting. The Medrash brings the later time we talk about how Moshe became afraid, which is when? Which is by Oy. Yeah? We see that Hashem told Moshe, I will be with you. And then later on, when they're trying to conquer Oy, it says, the Torah tells us that Moshe became afraid again. So Hashem responded at that time to Moshe Rabbeinu, don't be afraid of him. And the Medrash says, so we see Moshe became afraid. Anyway, this is the Medrash. The Medrash tells us there are two people who became afraid in spite of the Haftach of the Eibusher. Now says Yifei Toyar. What is this Yifei Toyar, the Medrash, on the Pirush on the Medrash over there? In Bereishis Rabbah, Feitoyar says that what is this? This is a critique of Yaakov and of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a critique. What's the critique? Hashem told you you're going to be okay. Well, Hashem tells you you're going to be okay. What business do you have to become afraid? So what is it? It seems like it's your it's a person lacking emunah and eibishter. That's what it seems like. So that's the Yifei Tayar. However, I'm sure some of us over here are thinking to ourselves, is it really a chesaron in Yaakov and Moshe? Because really, you could look at this medrash the whole other way around, no? Yeah. And actually, the fact of the matter is that there are other mefarshim in the medrash that say, actually, that it was to the shvach of Yaakov and to Moshe. What's the shvach? The Moshe Rabbeinu and Yaakov, Hashem gave them haftacha at one point. So at this moment, Hashem, I deserve, for whatever reason, I deserve haftacha from Eibusher, the Eibusher is going to take care of me. But what Hashem Agar Machetz, maybe I did an Aveira, and I no longer am deserving of the Eibusher's protection. Yeah? That's a good reason. That makes sense. So therefore, the other Mefarshim in the Medrash say, no, it's to the Shvach of Yaakov and to Moshe. And the truth is, and here, I want to go into the Nikudah of what I want to talk about. And the truth is, this question over here is really a fundamental, it's a foundational question in the concept of bitachin in Yiddishkeit. What is the chiyuv that we have to be boiteach b'Hashem? And by the way, when I said that there's a lot to talk about, this is where there's a huge amount to talk about. We're only going to talk a few different things over here. Bring a few sources. So first of all, we have Rabbeinu Yoina, Shari Tshuva, brings on the pasuk of Parsha Shoftim, the end of Parsha Shoftim, Kiseitzel amelchom alevecha v'risa sus v'rechev v'rechem am rav mimcha loisira mehem. So he brings this pasuk that when you go out to war and you see that your enemy has an enormous army with nuclear weapons galore and everything, and you see that we're not going to win this. Huh? Nevertheless, the Torah says loisira mehem. We should not be afraid of them, and the Rabbeinu Yonah says, "Who's harnu? What's the azhara over here? Who's harnu? But that sheim yira adam tzara kroiva tia Yeshua Hashem belvavoy v'yiftach aleha." When a person sees that there's a difficult situation coming, and there's cause for concern, nevertheless, This mitzvah, this Torah, the Torah over here tells us that a person has to remember Yeshua's Hashem is about, and Yeshua's Hashem is coming, the Eibusher is going to take care of us, the Yiftach Aleha. Those are the words of Rabbeinu Yonah. And then, that's Rabbeinu Yonah, the Sefer Moser in Shari Tshuva. But we have much more than that, because the Rambam, when I say much more than that, I'm talking about also in Halakha, because the Rambam brings in Sefer HaMitzvahs, what does he say? He says in Sefer HaMitzvahs, also on this same topic, he says, She hazhirenu melira meha'oyevin, that the Torah forbids us from being afraid of enemies, and he continues on, based on Malchama, v'shaloi nivrach u'pneim, etc. He continues on, I'm not going to read through the whole mitzvah over here, but he says, "V'chol mi sheyosig achar v'yivrach, anyone, any soldier turns around and runs away during war, far over aloisaseh." That person's done aloisaseh. And then the Rambam continues, "V'nichbul aloisas hara v'amar loisi ra'om." And the Torah says, "Loisi ra'om." The Torah doubles up on itself and says, and gives another lav over here that you also that loisi ra'om, that it's like a double lav. "V'nichbul atzivu," but that says the Rambam that it's a double mitzvah over here. Yeah, you should not run away, you should not go backwards, based on Muhammad at the time of war. So what do we see over here? We see that this concept of bitachon, of trusting in Hashem, is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that's brought in the Rambam, and it's brought in Shari Tshuva. This is something which is actually fundamental. It's not a suggestion. Bitachon is not something that a person, a nice thing to work on. If we can, betachin, having trust in Hashem, is actually a fundamental to Yiddishkeit. And if it's a fundamental to Yiddishkeit, we have to understand what it means. When are we supposed to be boiteach Hashem? How are we supposed to be boiteach Hashem? What are the guidelines? What are the guidelines of this, and what are the details of the mitzvah? So we have. I'm going to bring now from Shaar Bitachin. Rabbeinu Bechaya brings right in the beginning as follows. Mehus ha-betachin hi menuchas nefesh ha-boiteach v'shiyi el-liboy samuch al-mi she-botach alav. What does it mean to trust in Hashem? What does betachin mean in general? What does trust mean? He says it means menuchas ha-nefesh. Person is calm, relaxed, there's no anxiety, no fear. Why? Because he is reliant fully al misha batach olav, on the person in whom he has trust. Shiyasa toiv anoch in loy, that this individual who's guaranteed, who's offered up his trust, who's asked him to trust in him, is going to come through and is 100% reliable. Asher yiftach olav, so I can rely on this person, to can trust in him, and I can be calm and relaxed. So this is how Rabbeinu Bechaya starts off really the discussion of betachin, is that it means to be hamenuchas hanefesh, for us to be able to be calm and relaxed, because I trust in that other individual. Yeah, and we all know this, right? We all know these types of people. We all know people, I don't know anyone who's in business. Yeah? Different types of employees. Yeah? You have one employee who you know you're going to have to chase them, and you're going to ask them to do something, and you're going to have to come back to them twice, once, twice, four, six, five, ten times, whatever it might be. And you have other employees, you barely even need to say anything to them, and it's done. You can consider it done. And it's not just for people in business. They have friends who are reliable and friends who are not reliable. Yeah, families, relationships, we have this. So we can all appreciate this concept of bitachin, what it means. As Rabbeinu Bechaya has explained so far. So what's he saying? Rabbeinu Bechaya essentially is telling us that if we have betachin in Hashem, so therefore we're going to be completely relaxed. Why? Because Hashem is taking care of us. We don't have to worry about anything at all. Hashem is taking care of us. We're boiteach b'Hashem 100%. That seems to be what is this chiyuv of betachin.
May I suggest that?
Yes.
Fear is a natural instinct. It's almost an automatic reflex of the mind. Yes. Even Yaakov and Moshe Rabbeinu, despite having haftochas from Hashem, and those going out to battle, despite having haftocha that they'll win the war, each individual is afraid that he will be killed. And fear is a natural instinct. And that's why it says in every of those cases that they were afraid. It's a natural fear which they could not conquer despite Hashem's haftochot.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that. It seems to be that is indeed the case. But nevertheless, there's a lesson to be learned from the weakness in that. Yeah. And I think that's what the conversation is.
I think people controlling their instincts and so on.
And that just makes it a much stronger question. Moshe and Yaakov, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely, 100%. Perhaps the whole story over here is just in order for us to learn a lesson. Yeah. Maybe Taka, Yaakov and Moshe wouldn't have been an issue for them, but they're here to teach us each of us a lesson. So in any case, that's absolutely correct. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, okay, beautiful. So we have a mitzvah of bitachin, we have to be boiteach Hashem to the point where we rely on Hashem 100%. David Shear is one of those reliable individuals, yeah, let's call it, who we don't, everything's taken care of. Yeah, this is bitachin. But the problem is, what if a person did an avera? What if we don't deserve the Eibishter to take care of us in this particular situation, right? What if we don't deserve it? So Teva Toiv Lahetiv, we know that everything the Eibishter does ultimately is for good. So the answer to that is yes. We know that the Eibishter is going to take care of us. We know that the Eibishter is going to do what's best for us. Is that going to be obvious to us? Are we going to always see the good immediately? Maybe not. And maybe not ever. But we know that the Eibishter is doing what's best for us. And even in that, a person could take comfort. Because a person, again, doesn't have to worry within themselves about what's best for us. We know we have an Eibishter who is going to take care of us 100%. Whether it's comfortable or uncomfortable, the Eibishter is still taking care of us. And so we could potentially say that if a person doesn't deserve it, doesn't deserve the Eibishter to treat us well, we can still take comfort in the fact that the Eibishter is going to treat us in the best way possible for us.
I'll explain any subchanan of this.
Oh, beautiful. Okay, so we'll get to that. And then, according to what I just said, it's not really necessarily relevant, yeah? Because what we're saying is, we're trusting on the Eibishter to treat us in the correct way for us. Yeah, that question is a good question. Maybe we'll get to it. We would get to it, time allowing, which it doesn't look like we will. But it's a good question, and it's definitely a part of the discussion. So that could be an answer, and we could say, if a person is not deserving, he can be assured that the Eibishter is going to treat him in the correct way, in the best way for him to become the best person he can be, even if it's painful. The problem with that is that if we go back into Chovas Halavos, that doesn't work. Because Rabbeinu Bachaya says in Perek Beis, he says he's continuing the discussion of what it means to be, to have bitachon in the Eibishter, and to be boteach b'Hashem. And he says that what does it mean? What is this bitachon talking about? It's pure trust in the Eibishter and nedivus, that in his nedivus and the Eibishter's generous heartedness, generosity, the chesed and his kind heart, for a person who is deserving and for a person who is not deserving. And this is clear in Chovas Halavos, in Shaar HaBitachon. He says this clearly. So therefore, actually, what this means is that Bitachin, what does it tell us? Bitachin has to be trust in the Eibishter that he's going to do what's good for me now in this situation, in an obvious and in an apparent way, not in a way that I know what he's doing is best for me ultimately, but actually B'toyv Hanira V'Hanigla, that I know right now and here and now, and I see it clearly how the Eibishter is doing what's best for me. This is what he says. So, do 1 second, just give me a second.
So why were Yaakov Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu afraid?
We have another 60 seconds to get to the point, to answer that question. Okay, so I have to skip a couple of things over here. So what do we have? So what do we have over here? What we see from the Chovas Halavos seems to be clear. From Chovas Halavos seems to be clear that a person has to have bitachon in Hashem that he's going to do what's good for him, and that's it, irrespective of whether or not the person is deserving. Irrespective. And I want to bring I'm going to bring one more source over here, and then we'll finish up. And he says, this is a source from the Zohar. And the Zohar says, Ve'alma ilo lo yoyev le, elo kigamna de iu kayama, Alma Yilah, the upper worlds, in other words, the Hashpah from Hashem, from the Abishter, that a person gets, is only Kigam V'di'yu Kayama, in the same way that he holds himself. If a person expresses himself and holds himself in a way that they're smiling and happy and positive and upbeat, in that exact same way the Eibushter gives from on high. If a person holds himself in a negative, in a depressed way, and I'm not talking about clinically, by the way. We're talking about, that's a different conversation. We're talking about a person whose hold is down, when a person chooses to be sad, and a person chooses to be looking at the negativity in their life, and they choose to look down on the situation that they find themselves in, then, Yavin Leidino, Yavin Leidino, Vikovle. Yeah, that's the exact same way that Lamaila, the person, is treated. The Abishur gives him in the same way. And so what we find over here, and is, I'm going to finish off with a question that we can't deal with right now, but what we find over here is actually that Betachon is a whole different situation. It has nothing to do, really, with what a person deserves. It has nothing directly to do with what a person deserves or does not deserve. Betachon means that we have Betachon in the Abishur, we trust in Hashem, we have 100% trust that the Abishur is going to give me goodness, is going to give me bracha, is going to give me hatzlacha in every single way possible. How does that fit with the concept of schar v'oinesh? That's a great question. That's a question which I'm just going to share with you one quick thought on that, and we'll leave it at that. This is my understanding of the discussion. That there's schar v'oinesh means that a person has, Hashem gives rewards and punishes us for the things we do good in and otherwise. And how does a person deal with that? A person, if a person wants to be rewarded, they have to work through their midas, loitoivais, and that way, the Ibishter, one midah at a time, a person works on themselves, makes themselves better, and the Ibishter helps, and then the Ibishter gives them bracha. This whole concept of bitachin is sort of sidesteps that. This whole concept of bitachin is an avoida in itself. It's an avoida that each one of us can work on, and when a person works on this bitachin, and this trust in the Ibishter, it will automatically cause that all of the other midos will be rectified. It's like a one-stop shop. And what we'll finish off now, we're going to go back to the first pasuk that we read, and it says, Vayomer, in the beginning of Shemois, Vayomer, mi samchal ish sar shoyv talay, no, argeni ata, Vayomer, kasharata, so Ivri, so Moshe Rabbeinu was out there, and he tells the Russia, Lama Sakar Echa, why are you, on the second day, he comes out, and he says to the Russia, why are you hitting your friend? Vayira Moshe, and Moshe becomes afraid, Vayomer, ach, enoy da davar. Moshe becomes afraid, and he says, oi, it's become Achei Noida Adavar. Vayishma Pares Adavar Azeh. So what happens? According to this whole conversation, what we're saying is the Vayira Moshe, the fact that Moshe became afraid over here, is integral to the story. Why is it integral to the story? Because according to this, the Vayira Moshe, the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu became afraid, became concerned that, Pare is going to take care of me, now he's going to kill me. That is itself what brought about the following Psukim Vayishma Pare. According to this, if not for Vayira Moshe, if not for the fact that Moshe had become fearful and negative and worried, Vayishma Pare would have never happened. That whole situation would have never happened and Moshe would have continued on living his life. We'll leave it at that. Thank you very much. If anyone has any questions, I'm happy to answer.